All right, hey, Very Queer. This is Very Queer, sorry. I'm Endy.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, I'm B.
And I'm Ma.
Hey, it's been a week. It's been a week, and this is what happens when it's been a week.
Yo, tell me about it.
God, tell me about it. I feel like garbage. I feel really sluggish because I worked a lot this week, and I'm, in the middle of my period, so it's, all the exhaustion I was feeling, caught up to me today, and all I want to do is lay in bed and finish binging The Good Place because I just started today.
Nice. Oh, you just started today.
I just started today.
Oh, you just started watching Good Place. Oh, shit.
Yeah, no.
You're in for a treat.
Oh, my God. I know. I'm late on it just because, I don't think I like being told what to do.
Oh, my God. You're such a millennial.
I know. No, I'm such a bottom. That's what that is.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes. Oh, well, that's what that is? No. I started watching it because the creator came out and said that Eleanor is super bisexual, and I was like, yes, I'm gonna watch this now.
That's Kristen Bell's character?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I swear, look, I will Google it right now on my phone. Let's look this up. The Good Place.
I like Chitty.
Chitty is good.
But also, you know how Eleanor doesn't like, what's her name?
Oh,
Tahani.
Tahani.
I'm like, yeah, same. I see why. Like, just that kind of person is like, what person is just so happy all the time?
Yeah, okay. I found the article. The Good Place star reveals that Eleanor is super bisexual and came from Pink News. And that was on October 1st.
That's a biased opinion.
That is not a biased opinion. I will die on this hill. I will fight you on this.
I love when creators actually, how they actually come out and make statements like, no, I'm glad you guys are actually shipping this stuff because it's real. And that's why I wrote it. It's great.
Yeah, right.
And people really pick up on that. And then the creators confirm it. It's like, oh yeah, thank you, internet. Good job, Tumblr.
Good job. No, I am here for all the bisexual representation, because did you know, and I actually found this out the other day, that out of everyone that identifies as LGBT or Q, 50% of that group identifies as bisexual.
I was, what did I see? I saw something. It was like, oh, basically to me, queer means bi, but more gay.
What?
Right?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
You're bi, but more gay. I have no idea.
I don't make the rules. I don't know. I'm non-binary. Everything's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more. Well, that's like, B, what's your gender? I don't know. The one that you find me attractive in.
Well, go away.
I mean, just saying.
So, what else has been the highlight of your week? Y'all? Y'all?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, I've literally just
I've worked a lot, too. I've been, I had 3 16-hour day shifts. Kill me.
Jesus.
That's homophobic. It really is.
Not only is that homophobic, that is transphobic.
To me, personally.
Yeah, it is.
Jeez.
So, it was...
What?
I said, jeez, I feel bad for you. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
I worked a 13-hour work day this past Thursday.
That's not bad.
No, it's not, but it was more of it felt horrible only because the last couple weeks were just stress on stress on stress. So,
but y'all don't get OT, do you?
Huh?
Do y'all get overtime?
Kind of. I can bank on flex time. If I work more than 8 hours in a day, whatever extra hours I worked, I can apply it for, another day. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you can, get off early or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, like, yes, kind of.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's real nice. I'm like, yes, I am not going to come in on a day. Thank you very much. I will do that without having to use my PTO. Oh my God. But speaking of, like, you know, we were just talking about the creator of The Good Place coming out saying that Eleanor is bisexual, or as the article called it, super bisexual. This week was coming out week. How do y'all feel about all that?
We're both like,
We're like,
like, I like that people feel safe enough to come out at a certain time, but at the same time, I still feel like it can be a lot of peer pressure. I feel like there can be a lot of peer pressure for this week or even this month, yeah, for people that aren't really necessarily ready for that. They may feel like they may need to. And of course, it's optional. Like, you don't have to say anything at all if you don't want to. But I still feel like with everyone kind of jumping on the bandwagon and saying their story, people may feel like the need to do that. But, you know, at the same time, on the other hand, it is really fun to know that there's solidarity, and it is really nice to see everyone kind of go back down memory lane and, like, reminisce on the way that they came out and how that worked out for them and where they are now. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone can do that the same way. So yeah, it really just depends on the person. Sometimes I think that it was really nice for people to kind of reflect on that. Other times I think it might be a little bit doing a little bit more harm than good for certain individuals that may want to come out or can't because they have jobs or families or, you know, their lifestyle or, like, you know, their living situation may be altered if they were to come out. And it is sad, but it is true. And I think that's really important that we take that into consideration as well when it comes to stuff like that, which I feel like people have. So really, it's just kind of like an individual case-by-case basis. And those are pretty much my feelings about the week.
Yeah. I agree. Oh, I guess I'll go. B's pointing at me. Yeah. I'm gonna go off of what you were saying, Andisha. Sometimes I think it's like people are trying to get some clout, or I don't know. It just kind of feels like you're trying to play this role of, I don't know. I just think that heterosexuality is still the standard point if you're having to come out, you know, like, it's still the
status quo.
Yeah, the status quo.
Yeah, like I just said, like, the status quo is what you're trying to say.
Yes, exactly. And I get it. People, you know, it's good to have this space to feel validated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think we should already be living in ourselves and within what we want to be. Mm-hmm. And there shouldn't be anybody invalidating you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that today in society that's how it is. Mm-hmm. I guess in my world, in my utopia, like, I want to see everyone just living and being who they want to be without being persecuted about what they look like, you know, or just having some kind of backlash because you're,
mm-hmm,
you look different.
Right. You know? Yeah, because, like, the idea of coming out in itself almost implies that there's something about the way that you love or the way that you live that you have to almost, like, present to people instead of it just being the way that you are, you know, like, this is my life, this is the way that I fucking live. I don't really need to, like, mm-hmm, tell people about that because I do it every day, you know, like, why do I need to come out? But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it, B?
Well, my question for y'all first is, like, would you rather there not be a coming out day?
Later, yeah. Eventually, mm-hmm, yes. I know that we have to be here now because we still have to be seen. And, like, in order to be seen, there has to be these days or these, you know, things, mm-hmm, that we have to do in order to get to where I would love to be. And I guess because I just feel like I've been queer my whole life, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I'm fucking tired of trying to tell someone who I am or, like, having a code switch all the fucking time.
Yeah.
You know? I guess I'm just fucking tired.
Like, yeah.
But I a few years ago, I was just like, yeah, cool, coming out day. I think that's totally fucking rad. Like, come out, you should be loud and proud about it, and all this. But now I just feel like it's this performative thing that people have to go through in order to feel validated. And I understand that some people can't get that themselves because, you know, there's other issues of maybe family or friends not agreeing with who you want to be or whatever. And so, like, searching for something outside of your group or your community to support you, then, yeah, go for it. I'm not knocking anyone down, you know, like, I don't think you should be coming out. This is just my personal take on it.
But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it, B?
How do I feel about it? It's like, I've got mixed feelings about it, right? I see it as a really nice vehicle for people who haven't been out for very long. Mm-hmm. So it's like they have this day of the year where they can be the loudest and proudest about it. Like, arguably, you can do that any time of the year, right? But then here's, like, this day that's for you. And I think that's incredibly powerful for people who, like I said, haven't been out for that long, however they identify, right? On the other hand, I do agree that it does create this sort of pressure that everyone around you is talking about coming out or how long they've been out or that, you know, like, whatever, right? And that people that are not out, like, I feel like it creates this sort of, like, obligation that they kind of have to do it. And I think people do forget that coming out is a process, right? Like, everyone has their own way of coming out, whether if it's that they come out, like, the way that I came out as not straight, right? That I came out to a very select few friends, and then I came out to more friends, and then I came out on the internet, which was sort of like my public coming out, right? So it took steps for me to get to a point to be completely out, right? And I'm not done coming out either, right? Like, no, I have to come. No, you're always having to come out. Like, a good example was me coming out as non-binary. Like, I have to consistently remind people about my pronouns because I'm non-binary. Like, I'm consistently having to come out to people all the time, whether if it's at work, public setting, whether if that's like a social setting or a party or something, like, whatever, right? So it's not like on coming out day you talk about how out you are that one time and then that's it,
right?
So I don't know, like, I see both the good and the bad in it. I don't necessarily think that we should get rid of the day entirely. I just think that there has to be more conversations about that it is a process, and that you having to stay in the quote-unquote closet is also completely valid.
Right.
And I think that there's not enough conversations regarding coming out day about that.
Yeah.
The conversations around coming out day are all about celebrating how out you are.
Right.
Whereas there's people who can't do that for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah, like, I've actually never came out publicly on the internet. I mean, I've been like, these are my pronouns. That's it. Use them. Just because I do have family and stuff, my family is not really on board
with
who I want to, like, who I am.
Got it.
My
family's like mostly okay with me being not straight, but I think the only person that came out as non-binary to is my brother, his girlfriend. I don't have a lot of my own family on Facebook, so I can be as gay as I want.
Right. I don't know.
Right. No, I get that.
Yeah, I guess I just, like, don't want to have that conversation.
No, I get it. Know. Like, you don't want to expend your emotional energy just to possibly be struck down.
Right.
Like, that's another thing about coming out, too, is how completely fucking exhausting it can get. And, like, why sometimes I won't even correct people about my pronouns, because I just don't feel like having a conversation about gender theory 101 with you.
Right.
Right. Like, I'm totally willing to sit down and have that conversation with you if you're willing to listen. But if I know that if I'm just going to have to keep reminding you more than once, and if I know I'm probably not going to see you again, then I just don't feel like it.
Right.
And that really sucks that the burden has to be on me.
Mm-hmm.
To have to make the extra accommodation. Mm-hmm. Right.
For other, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I had this question. What do y'all feel about when, like, heterosexual people come out?
As what? Like, as allies?
As
or?
Fucking heterosexual people.
So, we're talking about two different things then.
Yeah, like...
Wait. How are they coming out?
What are you saying, Adisha?
I don't know. I'm just so confused. How are they coming out exactly?
As if they're heterosexual. They're like, I'm... Instead of, like, saying, like, I'm gay or something... Straight people are like, oh, this is my coming out day as I'm coming out as heterosexual. I've seen this conversation many times.
You've actually seen that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. So, like, you see fucking everything there.
Twitter's a cesspool.
It is. It's great, though. I like it. yeah. What's up, Indisha?
My mind is still blown. Like, I still understand. It's like I'm that fucking meme, that math meme of the person just looking in the corner with all the math equations floating around their head. God. Like, how did that happen? Like, what did they do? Were they just like, hey, I'm Tim and I'm straight? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, no, they were like, my name is blah, 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 and I'm a heterosexual. Happy National Coming Out Day. And I was like, that's the shit, like, I'm talking about, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because... I don't know. Hets feel like they have to do that because...
Why do y'all want to get pressed so bad?
You know? I don't know. Like,
well, that's also assuming... Are you also assuming these people are cisgender, though?
Oh, they are.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yikes. Because I was about to say, maybe they're trans...
I mean, like...
But then, even then, it's
you
like
would,
you...
You would say that. You would mention that. You know?
Right. That's why I'm like, I mean, never mind. They... That's awesome shit they would do. Never mind.
Yeah, like, why would you troll on top of
right.
the troll? Like,
listen, I'm trying to give too much benefit of the doubt here is what's happening. I'm just like, I really want to truly believe people don't do that, but they fucking do. They fucking do, yeah.
Don't defend them, B. I mean, like, drag them. It's silly.
But, like, where do you start then? Like,
oh, my God. I'm looking. I wish you could see my face. Like, I can't believe they fucking. I don't know which one I hate worse. People coming out as an ally or people coming out as straight?
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, that's some shit. Like, that's some real shit.
I don't know. I should make this a poll on Facebook. Oh, my God. I'm going to do it. Then I'm going to come back on the next episode. Like, so these were the results of my poll.
Yeah.
For science. I'm sorry. So your question was, how do we feel about that?
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Hard same. It's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, hard, totally. Hard same. I don't know how much more I can express how stupid that is. That's not what coming out day is for. Like, this day is for people who are LGBTQ+, who want to talk about their experiences of being gay or queer or whatever. Not for you to come out and be like, I'm straight, great, fuck you.
Right, they're like, yeah, oh, we have our struggles too, we have to come out too.
I don't know, I just don't have any words. I can't...
I guess for me, it, like, shoots back to, like, this place. I feel like straight people will do that because they feel like there needs to be they need to be in this place that we set them into, like this performative place to be accepted, for there to be just kind of like visibility.
I mean, but like just because they understand it doesn't mean they have to like fucking appropriate it, you know?
Right. So that they understand that and that they'll still do this shit, you know, that they understand that queer people do have struggles and,
yeah, that's pretty much where I am too. I'm like, yeah, I'm quiet because we can just open up a whole nother can of worms on that subject.
Like fucking co-op our struggles.
Right, but yeah, they're just like misconstruing whatever they understand into some kind of asinine, like not sensical you know, meaning.
So just for the sake of the conversation, we're talking about cishets, right?
Yes.
Because I don't want to say straight people.
And oh, yeah. Sorry.
Because no. It's okay. It's just that's how I'm trying to, like, process it in my head that, like, if for the sake of this conversation, we're talking about cishet people, not mm-hmm. necessarily straight people. Right. Because, right, like, we all know that trans people can be straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay. Which... I got that. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. You are good, my dude. but I don't know, like, the co-oping any sort of struggle, not even just with, like, queer people, but, like, I've seen white people do it with, like...
The fucking whole Blue Lives Matter thing.
Yeah, right? So just... oh, God. Like, it... I don't have the mental capacity to even really express how annoying that is as, like, a non-binary Latinx person. I'm like,
that would just open another can of worms about how all different struggles are always overshadowed or overlooked or derailed by other people trying to do something completely different that just kind of takes away from the whole message.
Yeah,
I just can't right now. Like, I can't.
Yeah, me too. I literally just can't. Like,
yeah.
So, like, okay.
I guess, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. No. Like, it's not whatever. It's bullshit. It is bullshit. It's bullshit. And it's like, and we are being whatever about it because, like, it happens so much. That's like, what more else can you say? Mm-hmm. What more else can you do? Like, it's annoying that it's up to us to have these sort of conversations about, like, why you can't do that because you're a fucking asshole if you do that.
Yeah.
Right. But after a while, that just gets exhausting. Kind of mm-hmm. goes back to the whole, like, pronouns thing. Like, I had to have a conversation with someone about another coworker that's also non-binary. And I was like, their pronouns, are they them? And the coworker was like, oh, are you sure? Because they never corrected me. And then,
because, like, they never want to hang out with you ever again.
And I was like, because we're fucking tired of having to have this conversation with you people all the time about why our pronouns matter. So it's this whole thing about, like, you can't on coming out day come out as, like, I'm straight or I'm an ally and, like, take up space like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're tired of having to tell you why you can't take up that space because it's not yours,
right,
to take up. You already take up the world as being able to live as a cisgender, heterosexual, probably white person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're fine. Let's have this.
You can't. Tell me about your nothing. I was going to say, tell me about your genitals.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't. No.
Because that's what they want to fucking know.
That's what they want to know.
Essentially, that's what it comes down. That's what I feel about coming out day. It's like the cishets want to know what's in your pants.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. I just feel like, why, like, gender reveal parties, like, just all the things, you know, or, like, things that they do to boys, like, but I don't know, just, like, all the things.
Right, but how does it come out to coming out day? Like, I'm just genuinely trying to understand. Just, like,
you know, like, coming out and saying, like, oh, I'm gay, you know, uh-huh. or whatever. I just feel like some people are like, oh, so you like the same genitalia. Like, I feel like that's what...
Oh, I get what you're
you know,
saying.
Like...
Yeah.
That's what people instantly think of. And I'm like, no, you...
I don't know.
You gross.
Like, I'm going to go ask my cishet friends, like, hey, if people come out coming out day, do you think about their genitals?
I don't know. Maybe I'm on the online too much.
Your feelings are valid. I am your friend. We are your friends. We're just trying to have a conversation, understand where you're coming from.
I'm all over the place.
Where it's called communication. Who's that? I don't know her. I mean, I don't know. It's like this whole thing about people also coming out as an ally also really annoys me. Just like, no.
Yeah.
That's not your space to take up. What are you doing here?
My name's Sally, and I'm not an asshole. Validate me.
But yeah, anyways, today we have a guest, one of Andisha's friends.
Oh, yeah, in Portland.
Yeah, Andisha, you want to tell us a little bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to be talking to Chris. They're a really cool person. They're in some really cool bands. And, yeah, we're just going to be shooting the shit a little bit. they use they them pronouns, and we're pretty much gonna sit and chit chat about how they feel about coming out and what their experiences are like and their views on the situation. It's gonna be pretty sweet.
Yay!
Awesome.
Yay, thank you. Can't wait.
All right, well then, in that case, we'll just take it into the interview.
Hey everyone, I am here with Chris, and thank you so much for coming in to talk to me.
Thank you.
Definitely appreciated. Earlier today, me and Maya were talking about coming out week and what we think about it and what it means to us, and I don't know if you feel like sharing your personal coming out story experience, what that was like for you.
So I technically never came out.
Okay.
I had an instance where my mom found out, like, she had read my diary when I was, like, in middle school and had confronted me about it, and I was just like, no, it's nothing, it's a lie, it's whatever, don't worry about it. And she's like, okay. So I just let it go. And then I just decided that coming out was stupid,
mm-hmm.
and so I just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm queer, or at the time I was like, I'm bisexual, mm-hmm. that was a thing. And I did that, and I was just like, my friends would have questions, and I'm just like, it's not really an issue,
yeah.
I just am,
mm-hmm.
and I am what I am,
yeah.
and I don't want to put a label on it,
right.
So like, I think 4 years ago, I started claiming queer, and I kind of started delving more into, like, gender identity and what that means to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a process of, like, hey, everybody, my pronouns are this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of, like, slipped it in. I'm just like, hey, by the way, if you want to try this, go for it. And it wasn't, like, a process of, like, coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just being vibrant and just existing as I
right.
am without feeling obligated
right.
to tell everyone.
Yep.
And it feels really good to do that, because then I'm just like, I don't feel the pressure of gayness or queerness
right.
or anything like
right.
that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really, I totally feel that. That was the thing that I was saying earlier about, like, I feel like coming out week or having a coming out day just puts some pressure on people, and it's like, dude, every day is coming out day.
Yeah.
When I walk out of my door, it's fucking coming out day. That's just not my life. I don't need to announce it to people. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You look in my window at night, it's coming out.
Yeah.
it's just, you know, how it lives.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Because, like, also, there's, aside from coming out, there's dealing with people within the LGBTQI yada yada community,
mm-hmm.
and how essentialist people can be,
mm-hmm.
about claiming identities and claiming, like, a facet of gayness,
mm-hmm.
or queerness, and I'm like, y'all, it's really overrated when it
right.
comes down to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see the solidarity, and I can see how people feel, like, a closeness to community by coming out.
Right.
And that's real for some people, and I mean, I feel that closeness with my community regardless of the fact that I didn't come out.
Right. Yeah, it's still there no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. It's
mm-hmm.
the fact that I show up to events. It's
mm-hmm.
the fact that I show up for other people in my community with my money, with
mm-hmm.
my time, with my art.
Right.
All of those things. That is just my own personal contribution to the community as a whole, so I don't feel obligated to just be like, hey, I'm like one of y'all.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Well, speaking of your art and everything, I know you just came back from, like, band practice.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you have, like, a handful of bands,
I
right?
do.
Yeah.
I do. Oh, I have three. I'm in three bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a handful. When I really think about it, it's a lot. I play guitar, and I do vocals in a, like, alt, rock, emo-y, tender feels band called Wayside Ghost, and I do screaming hardcore vocals in this melodic hardcore band called Carrie,
mm-hmm.
which is a revamp of an old hardcore band that I was in called Novellas.
Okay.
And then I just started this amazing hardcore band, weird noise. It's gonna be a lot.
Okay.
But it's a bunch of brown femmes,
mm-hmm.
all of us together, like, learning new instruments. I'm learning drums for the first time.
Yes.
I'm learning how to play fast aggressive punk hardcore music which I've never tried before, but I'm getting it. I'm like, yeah, power chord is sick. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. And then I'm playing drums too.
Okay.
I think I said that. But yeah, drums. So I've played drums minimally. My mom played drums and never let me touch her drums. So this is me like, hey mom, I'm doing this thing. She's like, I should have just let you play the drums. And I'm like, ha, joke's on you.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am learning new instruments and then like building this amazing camaraderie with brown femmes in the scene, which is really like hard to do.
Yeah.
A lot of like brown and queer femmes and gender non-conforming folks have a hard time just like delving into the music community.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like cis men dominated.
Right.
Going to a music store is also really intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
So like just wanting to try an instrument is already hard enough.
And yeah.
If you do it, then it's like being brave enough to like be okay with sucking for a while.
Yeah.
I love having nice gear and sucking really bad because it makes people really angry and I'm like, yeah. I too can own a really expensive guitar and be shitty at it. Like all these dudes who like try to quote unquote shred music. So I'm one of those people, which is really fun. But we get to learn new things together, and it's a really, I've never been in a band with all femmes.
Mm-hmm.
I've jammed once or twice with a few people, but it only was a one-time thing.
Right.
So like being in a dedicated band with people who like have like common politics and common viewpoints but different experiences is really cool, and we're gonna see how that unravels. Today was day one.
Okay.
I'm really excited to see what's gonna happen next.
That sounds like so much fun. You know, I've always wanted to be in a band. I was always that person that would like, I would look at my friends and be like, hey guys, let's be in a band, and it never really happened. So I mean, I really admire people that can actually do that. Like,
it's hard.
But, I mean, that's also really worth it.
Yeah.
Because, like, playing music and, like, coming up with songs and coming up with lyrics is, like, all really therapeutic and, like, meditative in itself. So, being able to, like, apply that with other people and just, like, come together and play music, it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
It's
really fun. I recommend it to everybody. Just do it.
I'm just playing music. I know, it's just a time thing. Have you noticed a difference between playing with this new band and playing like with the old band, or is every band different as far as?
Every band is kind of different.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always played with friends, so
it's never one of those like movies where they just have like that like audition part with a stranger. It's always people you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that alone makes sense.
Yeah. It's like it's really nice, and one of the bands I'm in is with my partner, it's like it's really easy because we've been in bands together since we were like 16.
Oh, nice.
And like he's really great with like helping me hone my skills and like really encouraging me to like try new things. And like has really been a supportive rock for being like a dude. It's really hard to come by. But everybody's like really chill.
Yeah.
My last band, Novellas, was not. I mean, it was chill up until it wasn't chill. And it was really hard to like do things and like time constraints and all of that, and it was like really hard, so that like unfortunately fizzled out because it was a really great project. But Carrie is going to be, I think, something more, but something that we wanted Novellas to be further without like any roadblocks on like other people's end, which is like not their fault, but like life happens, and that's the reason why we couldn't be a band anymore. But I'm looking forward to making time for three bands. So far, it's okay, and it's not like panicky, which is good.
Good.
We'll see how long this train. Yeah.
I mean, hobbies are definitely worth it, but I feel like having the upkeep definitely gets to be a little bit like much. I'm starting to feel that with it. Like, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, guys. Love being queer, but also having a life and working with that, I'm just kind of like, wow.
And the distance, like, wow.
The distance is also a lot. Like, having to work with, like, 2 hours ahead of different time zones. So, that right now it's, like, 8 there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, okay. So it's been wild, but we're doing it. We're making it happen. We have some great stuff coming up, so we just gotta keep doing it. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
How long have you lived in Portland again?
Okay. Portland. I just moved back from Portland after a 4-year break. Mm-hmm. I was in Eugene. Don't do it. Nobody do it. Don't move to Eugene. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Eugene was a weird experience, but collectively, I've lived in Portland, I want to say 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, with a lot of, like, moving back to California where I'm from, and then coming back, and then moving to Eugene, and then coming back, and, like, all of the back and forth. All because Portland just keeps going up in price.
Yeah.
So cost of living keeps going up, and, like, all of my jobs that I've held were not able to, like, support me sustainably to live my life here, so I had to move away. But this time around, I'm, like, a lot more stable, which is really nice.
You said it's been 4 years. After 4 years,
like 4 years.
Yeah.
Collectively.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been an experience.
Yeah. So it's been an experience for me too. We're definitely gonna have to come back to that one in particular.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I haven't really been able to get out much.
Yeah.
While I've been here, so I haven't really seen much of, like, the queer side of Portland. Like, yeah. I've seen people around, and, like, I can, like, fly.
Come out, tell me. I'm trying to make an effort.
And yeah.
I've got a plug into a lot of, like, queer ballroom scene, like, the POC ballroom scene is really cool here. There's, like, drag shows at Local Lounge and yada yada and all these cool things that I'm just now rediscovering because now I go out. But it's really hard because I also don't drink.
Like
a nice duality.
Mm-hmm.
In my life.
Well, I mean, do you smoke?
I do, yeah.
Well, I can hook you up with smoke.
Heck yeah.
And then, honestly, when it comes to going out in public nowadays, I prefer more to show up high than be drunk.
Honestly,
it makes it easier to go home. Yeah. It's easier to talk to people. It's
easier. You don't wake up feeling like shit.
Right, exactly. I'm like, yeah, let me take an edible and then, like, smoke a sativa vape and then just find a corner and observe.
Yeah, that's me. I get a little silly. Sometimes I'll bring books. I'm a weirdo. I brought books to the bar. My best friend totally, like, gave me shit about it.
What book was it? What were you reading?
I'm reading Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin. And it's so good. It's, like, a genderless planet that they, like, land on. Like, yeah, it's, like, it's real good. It's okay. Real good. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I just got done reading the popular book that everyone's reading right now, Children of Blood and Bone.
Oh.
By Tommy Adeyemi, you want to say?
I'll add that to my queue. I saw it in the library website for my ebook reader thing.
Yeah.
So I'll, like, click the little wish list button.
Mm-hmm.
We'll read it.
Yeah, it's pretty popular right now, but it is so good. Oh my gosh. It felt so good just to have a book in my hand and just, like, read again with passion and not, like, to learn or anything. Because I used to read a lot when I was younger. I was actually, like, known for my reading. I was one of those accelerated reader kids.
Oh, wow.
And I used to keep books, like, with me all the time. And
it's the season right now.
Right? And I feel like, yeah, like, once I got older and once I got into college, I was like, oh, I guess I can't enjoy YA novels anymore. I only have to read to learn. So, yeah.
Do the YA novels. Those are cute.
Yeah, I know, right?
I love reading them. Like,
I know. They gave me hope. Yeah, you're right. This one is a YA novel, and I, like, finished it, and I plowed through it, and I'm like, wow, I'm actually reading for fun, and not, like, because I need to read for a grade or just,
well, you know. Well, no, the library's got your back.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to definitely get a library card. I've been thinking about that for a while because there's one not too far from me either. The one on Killingsworth.
Oh, yeah. That was great, too.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with me. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, basically, it is coming out week. Well, it'll be past coming out week whenever this episode comes out. And the moral of the story is, just to wrap everything up that we've talked about, even with the other two being my, it's just that, yeah, coming out of the process happens one day at a time. It's different for everyone. You don't need to do it if you don't want to do it. yeah. and don't feel any pressure in the day of your life.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Cool. There you have it. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Andisha, for bringing Chris onto the show. That was really, really cool, and I'm so glad that we can actually finally get the ball rolling with, like, you being able to interview people up in Portland. If y'all are just listening in, we are Veer Queer. We are Houston-based, but we have a person in Portland trying to take over PNW with our lovely voices.
Yeah.
But thank you again, Chris, for coming onto the show. If y'all haven't yet, please like and share our page, Veer Queer Podcast, on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, which is Veer_QueerHTX. Feel free to send us an email at veerqueerhtx@gmail.com. We always love your feedback. We love hearing about what it is that we can improve on. Anything. Yeah, anything, like ideas for shows and stuff like that. Find us on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, I am B.
And I'm Mai.
Andy.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.